the gas, the electricity. You have anywhere from an 18 to 100 foot shift. Now you tell me what pipeline's going to stay intact. Even with elasticity built into some of those joints, they're going to break. If it breaks down along where that major, major gas pipeline is airborne, it goes across a gorge down near San Bernardino. There are two faults that meet right at the freeway interconnection in San Bernardino. It is going to dump that gas, which is going to go into that sink, and it's going to ignite. And it is going to be Holocaust. You will be without water, and they will be without electricity. And the prayer of it not igniting is ridiculous. You will already have fires going from a shaker that big. This is not to frighten. This is to pay attention. Please prepare yourselves. Don't think I'll do it tomorrow. Check on that water supply. You're okay out here. But this goes to a lot of people wondering what to do. There will be a massive split along the New Madrid Fault. When that one happens, it's going to open up an ocean way from the Great Lakes right out through the Gulf. And they will be steep cliffs. There's not going to be any walking down to the shoreline. There are going to be some major, major changes. When we talk about these things, these are the things that change worlds. You didn't get these mountains out here for nothing. The Himalayas were formed by the same kind of upthrust, down under, push up. That's what the Pacific plate is doing under the edge of the U.S. plate. So you're going to get changes. This area right here will be upthrust and down through Mojave. But obviously there will be a Garlock break right over here by the wind parks. Please. I'm not getting out of here early, am I? I'm going to be in trouble. All the mothers in the world will hate me. These things really need to be discussed. They really do. Because anytime you start having one major upheaval, it does. Every plate, every tectonic plate is but a gear. And over toward Australia, that one impacts all north of it up through Tibet. The Pacific Plate runs along the eastern edge of Australia. They're not even on the same plate. And yet the impact of the movement of the Pacific Plate against that non-movable thing called that Australia, we'll call it Australian Plate, starts the entire system to moving. The Himalayan mountains will rise more as it pushes up through Indonesia. The earthquakes are simply, the volcanic activity is simply showing the shifting of all this massive amount of magma and lava building. And then as it shifts, it seeks its way on up. You've got bulging again out here near Mauna Lake. That's going to produce radioactive material from Nevada. With any kind of luck, it will settle back down. But there's so much activity going on under there that it doesn't look like it's going to. But it'll be a little bit like the Palmdale Bulge. It'll come up, and then suddenly you'll lose interest in it because it kind of works its way back down. But you've got some serious things coming. And when ones want to refer to us as being apocalyptic, no. We respect the earth. It's going to change. Just as mankind changes, sometimes for the better, with the earth, it's always for the better. There is no negative impact. Mother Nature does what Mother Nature does. And yet, all is a creation of God, so all things can be changed.
Pander?
Yes.
I have 2 points you remind me of, if I might make, just to help with this discussion. In a very approximate way, I can help you to visualize the Richter scale. That's not the Kmart scale, but let's just give an approximate idea, since Commander mentioned approximate amounts of shifting. A 3 on the Richter scale approximately translates into 1 millimeter of ground motion. Now you think, gee, that's not very much, but just think how you can feel a 3-magnitude quake. That'd be a shifting of the ground one side of a fault, let's say, with respect to the other, of about 1 millimeter, and it sends out that kind of a wave. A 6 on the Richter scale is approximately 1 meter of motion, a jump from one side to the other, or a shearing of pipes. Let's say if some pipes go across the shear line of the fault action, then you have a shift of 1 meter. Big pipes would have a hard trouble holding on to even 1 meter of shift. A 9 is 1,000 meters. That's 6/10 of a mile of motion. That's how far easily one side of one of these faults can shift with respect to the other. Now, can you imagine your next-door neighbor across the street now being 6/10 of a mile up the road?
Well, in addition to that, if you have a heavy jolt, it's going to snap them.
Absolutely.
The first thing it'll do is just snap them in two.
Now, the other thing that we discovered on Thursday while we were in Los Angeles and in the process of procuring some car parts, we were talking to the people who own this business. And what is a bit unfortunate, and I have no way to deal with this, and actually it's a good point, as Commander just said, be cautious and be alert. And I hear Tonio saying to everybody in the room, be alert and listen, be quiet and listen, for we will know when we need to be on special alert. But what I found a little bit unnerving was there are people who feel they are ready for a quake in Los Angeles because they have a couple bottles of water and maybe a few cans of soup. And the point I was trying to make with them is, well, fine, tell me you have your seatbelt on if you're bumping into a brick wall at 5 miles an hour, and I'll say, good, I'm glad you have your seatbelt on. That's the equivalent of your couple bottles of water and your cans of soup, to feel content that you're earthquake ready. When your car hits that wall at 80 miles an hour, I'm not so sure you should feel so comfortable with saying, I'm in fine shape because I have my seatbelt on. There is a kind of false security. Thank you. False security by many people thinking if they have a few jugs of water and a candle somewhere in a drawer, maybe a flashlight with or without batteries in it, that they're ready for the big one in Los Angeles. And as Commander is trying to point out cautiously, and Commander Soltec is yelling in my ear, you ain't seen nothing yet. And that's all I want to say.
Well, it's worse than false security. It's the lack of being willing to look at it because it is so frightening. And ones will come along and realize that it can be so overwhelming that why bother? We're all going to go. It really doesn't matter to me. I'm going to go about my life, and I, in many ways, agree with that. You may as well, and so that you can continue to function or whatever, if that's going to be your pattern. On the other hand, there is a responsibility for all of us who can understand this to put it out there. Anybody who doesn't want to listen to it, please don't read it. On the other hand, it's like you're saying, at 80 miles an hour, what difference is it going to make when you hit that wall? Well, maybe it makes a difference to your child. If you know that that is what is anticipated, don't you start beginning to think of moderating your lifestyle, making some changes, putting some priorities where they ought to be, at the top instead of down here, as far as safety and location, etc. And yet the cities still are the places where ones find their work or their livelihood. I can't knock that. It doesn't matter to me where you choose to be. It matters to me that I meet my responsibility to tell you how it probably will come to pass. And your geologist will tell you the rest. And the facts are, it is a refusal to look at it. And there'll be a lot of nervous laughter. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. I'll be with all my friends. Hell is unpleasant even with your hellish friends. And you think there's not a hell? Hell is any place where you have absence of God. It's called darkness, without knowledge, without light. So indeed there is a heaven and a hell, if you want to just break it down. It, of course, is not milk and honey and golden paved streets on one hand and fire and brimstone on the other. Hell is simply the absence of light, the failure of recognition and being in the darkness without God. And those are choices. All of those are choices. I'm not here to make your choices for you. I'm just here to tell you what I can. You want to talk any more about earthquakes?
How long have they been planning this way?
Since the beginning of time. Oh, John, I can't talk about how long the final stages of the New World Order plan is.
It's been a long time. It's been a long time.
Yes, you have.
Commander, I had a thought just briefly. We're talking about the back with Randall and wrapping bonds with certain insurance, and then in the last contact or so, or something I read this week, was the caution that with these disruptions, the insurance industry, as an industry, will basically disappear. What does that do for how we approach?
Well, it's going to be lousy. But if you can get some kind of a backing in the meanwhile, and then you get it offshore, it's not going to be good over there either for very long.
The other thing I wanted to bring up, since this is Mother's Day, and hopefully among all this caution, we could love our mothers more and be grateful to who they are and what they give to this planet. My curiosity was, and I don't know how to approach the question in your dimensions or from where you come from. Maybe you were physical here at one time, but where is and who is and how do you approach Commander's mother? And did you call your mother today?
Listen, my mother's like a Jewish mother. She sent me chicken soup and said, "Von homie tea." Wash your ears. They show. I don't have any hair to hide it. But then, quite a few of you are getting there.
Commander, I have one real quick question. With respect to those that want to leave, and I do respect you, this is a personal question and has to do with electromagnetic sensitivities and chemical sensitivities. I've been in a situation in the last year of having to practice my survival skills by moving into a place that has no electricity. We have spring water and we have all the amenities now that you need to for survival for a long period of time, but it's out in the middle of nowhere, so my wife can be away from both chemical sensitivities and electromagnetic sensitivities. But my question is in dealing with that, in the bombardment of the magnetic frequencies from all around us, the grid system, the electromagnetic energies, is this type of thing happening to other people?
Everybody.
And because it tightens up all of our muscles and makes your heart go into tachycardia, which is a rapid heartbeat. And if we can't get it under control, then we end up in the hospital. But it's been that way for about a year. It started a while back. But the scenario is that is there, other than hypnosis and the regular things we're doing now for amalgam removal and heavy metal removal and
all those kinds of things. Is there anything specific I could assist her with?
Not that would keep your marriage intact. I hesitate to go into it. You're having a major, major response, but it isn't, it truly isn't physical.
Yeah, I didn't really think so.
How long does this going to last? Is it going to peter out eventually? Or
don't we wish?
Well, in the wisdom of Little Crow, it will go just as long as it goes.
Thank you
and
very much.
And it will be exactly as it is.
You're not very scientific.
You're an illusion. Remember, you set the stage. We've got to play out the play, and we can rewrite the script if we want to. Do we have 15 minutes? I really would like to look at this tape, and then I am in real trouble. I appreciate it, Randall, that you would ask me another question. It's her that wants out, not me. Let's adjourn and watch this tape. It's only a few minutes, and I think we would enjoy it and share it. Salut.
Salut. Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day, all you mothers.